And a high fly ball, center field. He hit it a ton. It's gone. And the 2010 Central Division Championship belongs to the Cincinnati Reds.
Football. Short drop. Lobs one down the sideline for Binns. He's got it! Touchdown! 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 Armand Binns!
See, this is the kind of thing, quite honestly, right now, that makes you want to see the Chicago Cubs team lose.
And it is Bob.
Oh, yeah!
And caught!
Yeah!
AJ Green makes the catch. Woo! On the ricochet Hail Mary. As a prayer is answered in the end zone by Adriel Jeremiah Green.
And welcome to Riverfront Radio. Today is, what, first week of March? Opening days right around the corner? And the fucking Bearcats are dead.
I wish it was the first week of March. We could reset this whole catastrophe of a month we've had.
Yeah.
Yeah. UC let us down.
Everyone let us down.
I mean,
Cincinnati
kind of
let us down.
Yeah.
So UC really kept up with what the norm is then. So, yeah.
Yeah, really, it's hard to be let down when you have no expectations at this point. And I'm just saying that as a Cincinnati sports fan in general, that's not necessarily directed at the Bearcats, although they certainly haven't given their fans much to look forward to in tournament time in recent years. And no. This has been no exception.
Yeah, we were bragging about how their side of the bracket didn't scare us, but apparently that first game should have scared us.
And that side of the bracket still doesn't scare me.
No.
But Mick Cronin's offense is what scares me, and it performed the way that we all thought it would. And I think I was texting Mac throughout the game, and with, like, I don't know, 10 minutes left in the second half, the Bearcats, they ended up having it tied up, and I texted Mac. I was like, this game's over. Like, they're going to blow it, and I know it. I saw it coming.
They up 11?
They were up 13
at one point.
Yeah, I mean, it looked like they were going to roll for a while. Yeah.
As soon as they let them get back within 10 in the first half and got 5 at halftime, I was like, it's over. Like, there's no way. Especially when you knew with Nysier Brooks being in foul trouble. As soon as he started, I mean, you could tell, like, they were just a better team when he was on the court. So as soon as he was gone, I'm like, it's over. There's nothing they can do. Iowa had two big guys that they couldn't really compete with. So.
And I wasn't watching the game, but I was listening to it at work. And you never want to blame this, but it sounded like a lot of the fouls, especially some of the ones on him, were kind of questionable at best, I think. So it sounded like the officiating wasn't great. But, again, you don't want to point to that as a reason why a team loses. I mean, you blow a lead that big, there's more than just officiating that goes into it.
Yep, for sure.
I mean, they couldn't make a shot, so.
Yeah. And, I mean, Mick Kernan's offense is always the exact same. I feel like they went into stall ball in the second half where they had the lead and they were playing to protect the lead instead of still trying to, you know, get more points. And
there were even
that's so frustrating to watch.
Yeah. There were even times in the first half where it felt like they were doing that. It was like 10 or 15. It was like 10 minutes left in the first half or something like that. In the one, I know that we've talked about them before, but the Bud Light Busters thing that they do over there at Barstool. I know Trent, he's an Iowa guy, so he picked Iowa. And he even tweeted, he said, I feel like Cincinnati's just trying to run out the clock, and it feels really disrespectful right now, like joking. Because they were up, like, 10 at the time. I mean, they were basically like, all right, we got a lead, let's just hold it. It's like, you can't do that when there's still over half the game left.
Right? I mean, they lost a big lead last year, too.
It was like 22 points left.
That was Nevada, wasn't it?
Yeah.
So I guess look on the bright side, it wasn't as big of a letdown this year.
Yeah. Nevada almost came back again yesterday.
Last year
game.
God. Yeah, it's – and they did – and they've done it, like DB was saying, they've done it throughout the year too. Like, it's not the first time that Mick Cronin's
– You mean Dan?
Yeah, Dan, sorry. It's not the first time that they've done that, even this season, so – Yeah,
a lot of people are saying, you know, Mick should be fired, which I think it's the same people every year that say that. But I don't think that you get someone better for the program. Like, well, there's no names that are out there that are ready to come in and take over this program. Mick does a fine job. He makes a tournament. He's made the tournament 9 straight years. I'm okay with Mick sticking around. And I mean, kind of at this point, I'd be okay if they got rid of him too, but I'm not calling for that to happen. Like, I don't care.
It was a team
too. The parallels to the Bengals and Marvin Lewis there are scary.
Yeah, they are.
How long has he been a Bearcat head coach?
11 years now, I think, something like that.
So he's got, what, 5 more left?
Yeah.
But I mean, I agree. There's nobody else that you're bringing in, and unless it's a small program coach that you want to give a chance, but...
And that's what it would be, but, I mean, you're not going to get Mark Few or... You know, you're not going to get a big-name coach to come here.
And that's the thing. And it sucks, but I mean, they were considered to be in a rebuilding year all year too. So I mean, he did a lot with a team that was supposed to be, you know, relatively young and not
like
ready.
You don't have rebuilding years in college. You're just good or you're not good. I mean, because you've constantly got guys coming through. So
it was supposed to be a down year.
Yeah. Are they graduating a lot of guys? Losing a lot of guys this year?
Just their 2 starting guards, which Kane Broome and Justin Jennifer are both gone. But I mean, their guards that come off the bench are just as good or better as them.
And they've got Mr. Ohio coming in.
Yeah.
To help with scoring. So I can never remember what his name
Cumberland
is.
Cumberland needs
he went
a
to
score.
Xenia, so.
Yeah,
Cumberland needs a score because if he's off and it's kind of been that way all year, it doesn't seem like they're doing much. So
I saw today that people were making the argument like, well, look at what Gonzaga does in a small conference with a small school. But they're way out west. The only thing they have to compete with is the Pac-10, really, as far as recruiting and stuff goes in a local level. But UC is in this weird where the ACC, the Big 12, and the Big 10 all kind of come together in the Big East for basketball.
Put Big East in quotes when you say it.
The league formerly known as the Big East. And they, like, he's found a way to succeed. And granted, it's not always at the national level in the tournament, but nobody in his situation is going to do what he's done and stick around as long as he has. I mean, if you're an AAC school, kind of out in the middle of nowhere, like you see some with like Connecticut and maybe even some of the Florida schools, you could say, don't have quite as much overlapping in recruiting with the different conferences. But like, if there's a good player around here, like, I'm still terrified that the kid from Xenia is going to end up jumping somewhere else.
Yeah.
Like, I still, until I see him in a Bearcat uniform, I'm not going to be relying on him to score for him next year. But I wish I could remember his name right now. It's like, what the hell is his name? Mr. Ohio. He just got named Mr. Ohio earlier this week. But he's supposed to be really good. And I think he kind of fits the Jaron Cumberland mold where he's
kind of undersized.
Yeah.
So the other, if you're looking for bright spots.
Yeah, Samari Curtis. Yep.
If you're looking for bright spots for next year for the Bearcats, I think that Keith Williams is going to be a stud. I mean, he's only a sophomore, and he was coming off the bench for most of the season. I think he ended up starting in the tournament, but he is going to play in the NBA one day just because of how athletic he is.
That one drive and dunk he had was like, holy cow. Like,
he makes it look so easy, and that's such a good play that, I don't know, I definitely see him playing. I think he'll stay all 4 years at UC, but after that, he'll go late first round, second round of the draft. And then
there's reason to be optimistic about the team in the future.
Yeah. The rest of the tournament, your Buckeyes won, Witty.
Yeah.
Pulled an upset in the first round.
It's crazy with the Big Ten's last time. I fully expect them to lose to Houston. I think they're down, 6 right now?
5 right now, I think.
Yeah. So I mean, anything that they get right now as an 11 seed, I'm happy with. So if they lose tonight, you know, to a 3 seed in Houston, I'm okay with that. I mean, Houston's a pretty good team. So I had no expectations of them making it out of the first weekend. And, well, you know, we'll see. But, there hasn't been a ton of excitement in this tournament, I feel like. I mean,
Irvine and Liberty, really.
Yeah, yeah. And
Murray State had a little flash. John Morant doesn't play defense. Right. He's ready for the NBA. Yeah. So
Duke should have gotten beat.
Yeah.
That's, oh my god. Yeah, Zion, that was a charge for sure.
Well, then the missed alley oop, that would have pretty much capped things off right there.
That was when you kind of felt the momentum shifting.
As soon as that missed alley oop happened, it was like Duke went on their run and got right back there. And then you still had the same thing with the two basically layups at the end of the game as time was expiring.
I know.
That should have, both of them looked like they were going to go in. It was unbelievable. So
Purdue's been the one that I mean, by seeding, you kind of know they've been good, but they've been playing really good, man.
They flew under the radar for a lot of the season.
Yeah.
I mean, that dude had, 42 last night, that Edwards guy? It was something like, he had 40 points.
Probably. I didn't.
He was making every three threw up. Like it was. And then Tyler Eifert, one of our beloved, his brother plays for Purdue, Grady. Grady had a pretty good game. Seemed like he was getting involved quite a bit. So that's just good signs. Eifert's going to have a good year. His brother's having a good year, but he's going to have a good year. Good juju.
We'll see. So. He's not all the way through the tournament yet. He makes it halfway through and like blows an ACL or something. That's going to be bad on Eifert. Not that I wish that on Grady. I wish him all the best. But
only first round postseason stuff counts if in the Bengals' favor, because you can't use a second or third round injury against the Bengals if they aren't going to get to the second or third round. So
that's
point
true.
Is
that's
the true. Eifert family is getting a taste of success.
Maybe thank God off. They finally
rub off.
Finally, the Eifert family finally gets a win. Two kids playing on national stages
it's
their
like
entire
the Matthews
lives.
Family.
Good looking. Yeah.
It's like the Matthews family. There's like nine of them in the NFL or have been in the NFL.
So, well, I hate to say it, but I'm already, I can't even say down on the Reds, because I think it's going to be okay. But of course, Scooter Jeanette gets hurt.
Yeah, that's
in tough. The second to last game of
2 to 3 months, man. That's
groin injuries are always,
especially at
one of
that
those things
position.
That take forever, and there's so
movements there. Yeah,
and they linger.
Yeah. Yep. And it's only gonna get colder. Oh God.
I think it's gonna get warmer.
It's gonna get hotter.
But I'm saying towards the latter part of the year when he's coming.
No wait, if,
back and
if
healthy.
The seasons work how they normally work,
they don't.
I think it's gonna get. I think it's gonna get warmer.
Global warming.
it's going to stick around for sure.
Yeah, so that's tough. Hopefully he can get a quick recovery, but you hate to see that. Because Scooter's a great guy. You know, he's been a fan favorite the past couple of years, and you could just tell watching that video of him, he was really hurting. And I mean,
pain.
Yeah.
He tried to walk, and all of a sudden it grabbed, and it's like, nope. It's like me walking to the bathroom in the morning with my back.
Yeah,
it's like, nope, not today. Like,
oh shit! Okay,
not today.
He said, "I guess someone broke down the video, and you can see him like mouthing the words." Popped. It popped.
Yeah,
yeah.
I was hoping it. He said, "I pooped."
Yeah,
because I've always wondered what I would do if I shit my pants and if I was like in a game like that. Like, I think you just have to lay on the ground and be like, "I
fake a
groin
injury."
Like, get the stretcher.
When you made that like motion, like rubbing his like hand on the outside of his groin, and maybe that was just like, like it's flowing all the way up the front now and around.
Have you ever, if anyone has had it, they know what that's like. Yeah.
Oh, I had a hell of a blowout this morning. He had it like on his feet. I'm like, how the hell
does that happen?
Yeah.
That's awesome. Yeah. I know, that sucks. That really
was he 12 now?
Yeah. It's crazy.
They grew up so fast. But yeah, that's not a good thing. And like you said, it's a groin injury that a lot of times those linger around. And I'm going to have to check with Randy Rico tomorrow to figure out exactly how the weather system works. Because I'm not really.
Yeah, I thought I was going to start warming up here.
Those mid-July snows are
I'm
really
talking about later in the season, asshole. I'm hoping for October ball, damn it.
Well, hopefully
it's
should
gonna
be
pretty chilly around Christmas time, so I don't know.
Here we are, 4th of July weekend. We'll get the game in today as long as the snow holds off.
Yeah. You guys want to go to Perfect North for 4th of July?
Yeah. Might as well.
Yeah.
Jesus Christ. But yeah, they...
hit the slopes, if you know what I'm saying.
And that's weird because I don't like boats.
I love boats.
Oh man. But
yeah, opening day right around the corner. And, yeah, it sucks we'll start the year without Jeanette. But I think everyone was kind of hoping that with Jeanette going down, Senzel would come back up. But that doesn't seem like it's going to be the case.
We need him for at least one more year in 6 years.
I do like Jose Iglesias, and that's why they signed him, because he can be a good shortstop. Yeah. He was one of those guys a lot of people are like, I can't believe he's not in a camp right now. So they were able to get him, and then you got Derek Dietrich with off the bench to kind of be a break for both Iglesias and Peraza. So puts Peraza back at his natural position. It puts Iglesias at his natural position. If nothing else, I hate to say it because it sucks how it would work, but nothing else, you can re-sign Scooter for cheap next year.
Yeah.
If he only plays half the year, a lot of teams might not be willing to take that risk. But
it's the old Eifert method that the Bengals got going on.
Just 1 year at a time after injury. But, no, I mean, I don't know.
The person that's most upset about Senzel, you know, not making the opening day roster was Senzel's agent.
His agent, yeah. I know.
Because he came out really pissed off about how this is, you know, time manipulation at its worst.
Yep.
And that, I mean, you know, Mac has made the point before that, you know, if we do, we will get to control him for another year if he's down for the first 2 weeks. But at that point, we will have already redone his deal if he's a decent player. You know, we will hopefully sign that extension with him, and we won't have to worry about that if it gets to that point.
And also on the flip side of that, is that one extra year of control worth it if it pisses him off enough to say, you know, as soon as I'm out of that control, I'm gone.
Because
you know, if you want to treat him right, you know, make him happy, he's going to be more likely to sign that long-term deal. Mm-hmm. Whereas if he's over it, then he might just say, hey, yeah, see ya. But, you know, like Mac, you mentioned in your blog, like even he came out and said, you know, well, what it comes down to is I had the opportunity to win the position and I didn't. And maybe that's him just saying the right thing because he knows he needs to, because he knows his agent's not.
That is the thing that I liked is how he handled it versus how his agent. He said the right things.
Yep. I'm hoping that at least part of that is how he actually feels, too, although I'm sure he's pretty pissed off.
Sure. A lot of people were like, and I even, like you said, I mentioned in my blog, you could tell he was a guy playing center field for the first time in a lot of those spring training games. He made some catches, and there were a couple catches that he made where he put himself at risk for injury.
Yeah.
Like he had a diving catch where it looked like he broke his arm.
Awkward.
Yeah. It's like, that's the type of thing if you make the, you got to know when to take the risk and when, and maybe if he gets a better jump, that doesn't have to happen, but.
That was like Jay Bruce earlier in his career. He rolled up his arm and
he broke his wrist when he did that weird sliding dive thing.
Missing some time,
Yep. So I don't know. It is silly to say he needs two more weeks of seasoning, because what's really going to happen in those 2 weeks?
Right.
Like nothing. So
the Reds are going to be 12-0.
Well, yeah. It is nice though that they open up with like 12 of their first 17 games are against the Pirates or something crazy like that. So, or I don't even know if it's the Pirates, but it's like bad teams. So there is that chance that they could get through it without one of the better hit. Because Senzel would be one of the best hitters in their lineup.
Yeah.
Like hitting's never been the question for him. So,
yeah.
And he's 23 years old because he was a college kid. So it's not like he's some 19-year-old prospect like they had with Harper or Trout where.
Hunter Green.
Which. He's someone that if it weren't for injury last year, I feel like people would have been like, how come he's not on the roster this year?
Right.
Yeah, all like, because he was on the cover of Sports Illustrated.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I don't know. It'll be interesting to see how things happen. And luckily, the late signings they had saved them this time.
Yeah.
Dietrich and Iglesias.
Signing was huge. Like,
yeah, there was two steals, too. When they both got signed, they were like, these are – pretty good steals for what they got him for and how late 15, they were able to get him.
Bell and, named his opening day starter, right?
It's Castillo.
Yeah, so he's getting rewarded, I think, for kind of being the quote-unquote veteran on the staff as far as the only tenured guy on staff, really.
Yeah, I was going to say, people are going to be pissed off it's Finnegan again.
Yeah.
I'm still interested to see how they use Lorenzen out in center. Like, that's, I think it's, still, that's still, I think, one of the more interesting things to see.
I don't know that he'll get that much time.
I think, like, it'll be game situation stuff. Yeah. I think it'll be...
if he's coming off the bench or something late.
Yeah, I think it'll be to play like this. If he's pitching like the sixth, but he's also due up, like the next inning, they might put him out in the outfield for the next like two outs type of deal. I could see it being that type of thing. But
what did you guys think about the rule changes with only like every pitcher has to now face three batters? It's supposed to be a pace of play sort of thing that's going on.
Yeah,
I don't like it, but I heard that somebody went back and looked at how it would affect the game, and it wouldn't be that bad because most one or two batter pitchers come in to get the last one or two outs. Very rarely is it someone coming in just to start off an inning or coming in mid-inning for just one batter. I mean, it happens, but not as much.
So if you bring a guy in with two outs in the ninth and you get that out, do they still have to run out two more batters just to get those three batters faced?
Yeah, they delay the fireworks.
Mm, yeah. And
make you start the next day with him.
He starts the next
day. No, they said that if you switch innings. But I think you might have a lot of injuries, quote-unquote injuries, happening with this, too.
Oh, yeah.
Where it's like, oh, man, my hamstring's tight all of a sudden.
Yeah.
You know, it's weird because you're a lefty and there's three righties coming up.
Man, we're going to be complaining about flopping.
Yeah.
On the mound.
I was going to say.
So it'll be, I don't know. That one I'm not a huge fan of for that reason. There was something that there was a proposed rule that I'm like, oh, it's actually not that bad of a rule, but I forget what it was now.
Oh, the DH.
Oh, fuck. I'm trying to think of what it was. There was something I was like, yeah, I actually could get on board with that, but I don't remember what it was now.
I saw somebody on Twitter earlier bitching about Kemp, like, being one of the go-to outfielders, and he doesn't offer anything, and I'm like...
He offers, like, 30 home runs a season and plays every night.
And not to mention, when he came with the Dodgers to Great America last year, he pretty much single-handedly won the series for the Dodgers.
He'll be...
Red's Twitter's already pissing me off, and the season hasn't started yet.
Yeah. Red's Twitter's a bunch of idiots, us included.
Yeah. I don't know the seasons.
But
I just can't wait for all the anti-Tom Brenneman takes. That's my favorite part of the season. Yeah.
Leave the guy.
Sometimes I'll just randomly just search for Tom on Twitter just to see what people are saying. Half the time it's just people saying "Shut up, Tom," and they always capitalize the H.
Like, yeah, that I just will never understand the hate for Tom Brenneman. Like, literally any broadcast you watch, you're gonna get, if you watch the same broadcast team for 162 nights, you're going to get annoyed with whoever's on the radio or TV. And it's going to happen. Like, he's one of the lead guys in national broadcasts. Like, he's there for a reason. He does a good job. And it's like, you can't, I don't know. Like, sometimes I think people get annoyed that he's trying to find, half the time it's when they're doing bad. And it's like, he's trying to find something to talk about. Mood. Yeah. Right. He's like trying to, like, he'll start asking Cowboy like random stuff. And it's like, the people are like, oh, come on, Tom, there's a game going on. I'm like, do you really need to know that the Reds are losing 11-3 right now?
Yeah.
Like, why don't we let Cowboy talk about his
UDF? They lost a heartbreaker 9-1.
Yeah.
My favorite Major is, League. If there's ever anybody on the other team from the Cincinnati area, if Tom mentions it, they just go off.
They go nuts.
Yeah.
Do you guys think that we may be a little bit biased since he's a Bobcat?
I don't know. I felt that way before.
Yeah.
Like, I was like, I don't know.
One of the only people defending him?
Well, I kind of feel like by virtue of him being a Bobcat, that kind of just makes him one of the greatest broadcasters in history. Because
probably true.
Scripts, Ohio University produces nothing but greatness in all aspects, in all fields.
Even if they're a little problematic at times.
Yeah, well, okay. We're not going to talk about him.
Although, after Jeff's take earlier, I think Randy Rico would be a little ashamed to be a Bobcat. But I don't know. I don't really remember what 2003 Mac felt about Tom Brenneman. I don't even remember. He was not even with the Reds at that time, I don't think. But I don't know. Like, I just... I don't know. Yeah. I think if he went to Miami, I would hate him just because of that. But I don't think my sticking up for him is necessarily solely because he's a Bobcat.
I want to say the only announcer for the Reds that I ever really disliked was probably George Grant. And I don't really know why. Yeah,
he always annoyed me because he wouldn't say best name sports show. Yeah,
exactly. Yeah. He wouldn't say damn.
Like, say damn.
Yeah.
Say damn, you motherfucker.
We don't say damn on this podcast.
Yeah.
We just said motherfucker.
Watch your mouth, Jeff.
Yeah, Jeff.
But I don't know. We'll cut that. It'll be
rated.
It'll be exciting Thursday. We'll know. We'll get 4 o'clock, 4:10, I think, is the first pitch.
4:20. It's a little weed joke. For all you
potheads out there.
I'm definitely wearing my Reds gear to work. I don't care what they say. They can fire me. I don't care.
I'll rock my Reds tie like I usually do.
Nice.
My Cons hot dog Reds tie.
Corporate's not going to like that.
Super professional.
You want naked.
I will be there. I'll be booing Rob Manfred.
Oh, yeah. I forgot he was the Grand Marshal.
In the bleachers, man.
Yep. No, I'll be booing him at the parade.
Oh.
I don't think he'll hear my boos from the bleachers.
Yeah.
But Eric Davis is throwing out the first pitch.
Over the crowd for all the home runs the Reds are hitting.
I think Eric Davis should wear the suit that he was wearing for Mark Mallory's first pitch. For his first pitch tonight. It was one of those. It was back when baggy suits were the style.
Oh, nice. Really long ones.
Yeah, it was like pretty long and baggy suits. Now you see everybody's ankles and they don't wear socks.
Capri suits.
Yeah.
I've never felt more out of touch than the one time I went into, I forget what it was. I don't think it was Men's Warehouse, but it was a suit. Like, it was a place that was selling suits. Might have been Men's Warehouse, or maybe it was a Brooks Brothers at like the airport or something.
Look at you.
I know, wherever it was, high styling. And I walked in and saw the price tag. I'm like, nope. But yeah, it's like
Walmart.
They suits are, they're tight on the legs. They stop at your ankle, and people wear like those weird shoes that like are made to wear not without socks. I'm like, where are you working that this is acceptable?
Yeah, that's not how real men dress.
Yeah, real men wear suits with shorts.
Like yeah,
the Chuxedo or
short
whatever
sleeve on shirts.
The Chuxedo on the Capital One commercial.
Real men have problems.
Some of those
Capital
One commercials have been pretty damn. Yeah. Some of the Capital One commercials have been pretty damn funny.
I thought that they were funny at the beginning, and now I'm getting sick of them.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they're on about every other commercial break.
Yep.
It's like they're a title sponsor.
Weird.
Speaking of
fat, our title pants. Sponsor,
Fat Guy
Insert
Pants.
Insert ad here.
Shout out to Flex Fit Jeans from Old Navy.
Well, oh, yeah. Even my Flex Fit Jeans can't handle my fat ass right now.
It's that winter bod.
I had
it's good thing it's
good thing it's
staying
getting cold.
Cold.
Yeah. I had to take a key ring. So like, you know, the key ring things,
the,
like,
the little belt loop extension thing.
Yeah.
Or the, yeah.
Like you ring it through like the slot of jeans and then, or through the, the slot on the zipper.
Yeah. Where you, yeah.
Yeah. You zip up and then you put it around the buckle, but even that wasn't quite good enough. So I had to take one of my wife's hair ties and kind of like knot it and create like another elastic, like.
Nice. Nice.
Oh, I have to take a picture for you. And I was like, it was the fattest thing I've ever had to do. And it was to go to one of those all-you-can-eat Brazilian steakhouses.
Nice. So,
it was a low point in my
you
life.
You just gone sweatpants, man.
It was December. It was hot. I mean, it was the warm month of December.
That's true. Sad of course, you never want to have sweatpants at a place like that because, because you get the meat sweats and then it's that could be bad news. But
when you shit your pants, it's easier to contain in jeans.
They're closing Buena Brasa.
Yeah,
I know. I saw that.
That's tough.
They said they're going to reopen somewhere else in Cincinnati, but they just won't be downtown. And I'm sure something will fill that
spot
quickly.
Probably got pushed out by Frisch's, man.
Maybe we're finally getting a Giordano's down there like we were supposed to.
Yeah, that was supposed to happen years ago.
It's going to be in Beaver Creek, last I heard.
Beaver Lick?
That's a spoof town in the X-rated version of WKRP Cincinnati.
There you go.
All right. This has been a hell of an episode, Belt Boys. You got anything else about Cincinnati you want to talk about?
Let's think here.
FCC's won three in a row.
No, I think we're good there.
We're going to
hook 'em horns.
Reds wins.
Yeah.
Yeah, go Reds.
Oh, how many wins are the Reds going to get?
Oh, yeah, yeah, that's right. Okay. Let's talk about
the
season.
Oh, yeah, let's talk about the thing we said we were going to talk about. We talked about that already.
So, Cincinnati Reds, Jeff, go. They play 162 games.
81.
They're going to go 500?
Yep.
The cold's going to get to them in July.
That's right.
Yep. I'm going 81. I'm going safe and saying 500.
Yeah.
That's not bad.
I think they start off hot and probably drop 10 of their first 14, but then I think they get cold and kind of come back, and I don't know. I'm going to give them 87.
Motherfuck.
I was going to say 85. So
I'm going 87, getting a wild card spot and losing that wild card playing game.
I hate that wild card playing game. We'll never win that game.
All right, there you have it.
Hey, nobody's better than a losing record, so that just means I think 60 is their ceiling.
162. So our bracket bet for ribs, Mac is in the lead currently, and I'm in second place. I think.
Call me Eve because I'm taking all your ribs.
Boom, dude.
I don't know what that means. I think Mike Jeff. And, I think Jeff and Witt are tied for last.
Oh, dude.
But in a surprise twist, we all have Duke as our winning team. So
yeah,
we almost all.
It would have been interesting to. Yeah. It would have been. It might. Well, I'll have to go back.
I would have came down to what our final four was. Is our final two anyway? Super different.
They're different enough where it matters.
Yeah. I was gonna say if Duke would have lost, it would have been really interesting to see because. Not that anybody cares, but I think all of our Final Fours are pretty different except for Duke.
Yeah.
So it would have definitely shaken things up. But
I don't think any of us has the same Final Four that we picked on our show when we picked our Final Four. So
I think mine's still the same.
No, I don't think any of us do.
Oh, that's right. I forgot.
It would make me look like an asshole in front of the fans, man. Mac, whatever you call yourselves these days.
And Mac, whatever. I don't give a shit.
Any Mac blogs?
As hot as ice.
All right. Well, thanks for listening to the show this week. Check out millironsports.com where you can read all of Ben's blogs.
I wrote
the other day. I thought someone blogged
6 months ago.
I thought someone blogged the other day, and I was like, "What the fuck just happened?" Because I got an alert from Mill Iron Sports, and I was like, maybe someone." I thought maybe Dan decided to throw up a March Madness thing or. Jeff accidentally hit send on one of his random drafts from 6 months ago.
Yeah.
And then and it was I had to re-download
flavored soda.
I had to re-download the app because it was fucking up on me. And I forgot that I didn't re-turn off the moments. So it was telling me like Miller and Sports Moments, and it was like so and so followed this person. I'm like, I don't give a shit who followed who. Like
you thought one let me see logged and let me see my because you realize it's just you.
I don't know. I mean, me every couple days at the most. If you're gonna say I'm carrying the company on my back, I'm not gonna stop you, but I do it for the fans.
There's a few out there. Yeah.
But doing all right, well, have a good weekend.
Co-host laugh.
The Reds will be 3-0 next time we are on here for you guys. So
nice. Yeah. Can't wait.
Go Red Legs. Screw the Pirates. Cooney's over fries and sandwiches all day. Oh, maybe we can talk ballpark food next week.
Ooh, there you go.
Nice. I'll try out. So I'll be at all three games this coming week, like for the first series. So I'll try to hit some of the top the new
corporate.
The new. Oh, I know.
Better get them pants ready.
This credit card I signed up for and all your guys' names is. Awesome. So, but no, I'll try out some of the random foods because they've got some weird things at the ballpark this year.
Yeah.
A couple of their new signature items have red buns, which
I saw that. That's weird.
A after picture to see what that does to my poor body. Like, this is the fifth colonoscopy this month, Mac. You're not bleeding. You're just eating red hot dogs.
Do your damn Kenny challenge again.
You're starting to enjoy them.
Yeah. Yeah. Green spaghetti and red hot dog.
I'm starting to think you're scheduling on the last one. Yeah.
So, all right, gentlemen.
This is our 1 month anniversary.
This is.
What's up, Doc?
That was a cork on a wine bottle, not.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. Because it'd be more.
But that. Yeah. Oh, Jesus.
Jesus Christ. See you guys.
Yeah. Later. Sorry.
Yeah. Thank you, guys.